lead us in prayer. I thank Corey. I think you're it. I love that.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for this opportunity that we have to come and learn your word this evening. May we be open to what we are taught this evening, and may we apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. John, the Gospel of John, is one of the most beautiful Gospels. I've translated all the New Testament, written a commentary on every book in the New Testament, and all of them are special. Every book is, even Philemon and Jude. 1st and 2nd Peter, all these have fantastic revelations in them. But the Gospel of John brags on Jesus. That's all I can say. And I like to brag on Jesus real good. I love him. You know, he's my Savior. And the Gospel of John shows so plainly that Jesus is Jehovah of the Old Testament. And it makes it so plain that there is no way around it at all. And this is the second time I've taught the Gospel of John at Valley. I taught it 20 years ago. And I want to do a better job of it. That's why I'm teaching it again. I've been sidetracked a little bit lately. I'm going different little avenues with it. But we always get back to the text and we go back in there and get to move. We're going to try to move along tonight. Jesus, in the 14th chapter of John, we think about it, we are very special verses in the 14th chapter of John, but and John allows Jesus to say that he is God in flesh, plain, that he and the Father are one entity. They are one. And that's what he brings out in the 14th chapter. He brings out in the 8th chapter, in the 1st chapter, and the 10th chapter. And he just repeats himself over and over and over again. John makes a statement, and then he repeats it all the way through the Gospels. And that's what he's doing here. To pneuma, tes aletheos, ho, actually it's ha ho, ha ho, cosmos, u dinate, la bein, hote, u there, auto, ude, genoske, hemes, genoskete, auto, hote, par, himen, mene, kai, and himen, esten. Now, Brother Dick, all the way through here, we're going to find out something. We have present, indicative, active, almost conjugated in this verse. And the conjugation of present, indicative, active is what? Come on. What is it? Brother Corey, you remember what it is? O. O. Say O. O. Ace A. Omen eti. Usi ain. That's how you conjugate present indicative active. Always say omen eti usi ein. Okay? And it's in this verse. First person singular is I. Second person singular is you. Third person singular is he, she, or an it. First person plural, we. Second person plural, they. Third person plural. All right? All right. Second person plural is ye. Third person plural is they. All right. And then the infinitive ain is to do something. To go, to look, to see, whatever. The spirit of the truth. The spirit belonging to truth. Whom the world, not he is able. This world, not he is able to receive. The word world there. Okay, look at that word cosmos. The omicron sigma on the end of that tells you what about the gender of that verb, of that name. Of that cosmos. What gender is it? It's masculine gender. It's nominative singular masculine. All right? Whole cosmos, the world, not he is able. And when we look at the world, we're going to give him a masculine gender because what is the author of this present age? Who is the author of it? Satan. Hillel. All right? Hillel or Satan. I was talking to a girl yesterday, and her name was Lucy. And I told her, I said, do you know what your name means? And she said, it means light. And I said, yeah, you've got it. Lucy means light. I said, what is the Latin root of that? And she said, I don't know. It's Lucere. And I said, what is the other, what's the masculine name of Lucy? And she said, I don't know. I said, it's Lucifer. She jumped back like that. She said, Lucifer. Lucifer. Boy, that's bad. And I said, no, that's a good name. Lucifer is a good name. All right. What he became was Satan. He became the horrible one, the evil one. But what he was in the beginning, God created. God does not create evil. He did not create the world in disorder. He created the world in order, the cosmos in order. But the cosmos became twisted and became wicked with the one that destroyed it. And the Lord's going to redeem everything back. So, because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved what? The cosmos. He's going to redeem the cosmos back to him, the cosmos back to himself. Every piece of dirt and rock here in the universe, it's going to be all back in his hands. How do you get in Satan's hands? It was a legitimate handover, wasn't it? Adam, which was basically the administrator of God's kingdom, handed it to Satan when he took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Handed us into his hand. Damned all of his children from then on to be have to face this thing, this entity of evil that we do. And this evil world is not able to receive the Spirit of God. It doesn't want him. Okay? Because no, not it beholds or he beholds. Look at that one here. Remember what I said, O-A-S-A, O-M-A-N-E-D-U, U-C-A-N. So which one is this? Third person singular, present indicative active. This is A, O-A-S-A. This is third person singular, present indicative. Look at Thore, Thore, Thore. See that word Thore? Yeah. That's where we get our word theater from, that word. Behold. Not it is able to see or behold him. That's where we get our word theater, him. All right. Now, alto there is accusative singular neuter. Because what is it talking about? There's a neuter word up here. Which is the neuter word? Toe. Remember toe in the front of it? Which one's got it? What's the neuter word that it's describing here, this him? This is the third person pronoun for this neuter word earlier in the verse. Right up there to the all the way to the left. The Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not neuter, but the name Spirit is neuter. So here John just goes right along with the grammar. Okay? And this alto describes, you can draw a line all the way from alto back up to the Spirit. Okay? Not, it beholds him. Okay? Nor it knows. Look at that word gnoskes. There we have again, third person singular, present indicative active. Not it knows him. And when you got something present indicative active, it says continually. The spirit of evil is not ever going to have a personal relationship again with God. There is no redemption of fallen angels or fallen spirits. There is no redemption. There is no redemption provided for them. All right? Nor it knows. Ye know. Ye. Okay. There we have second person plural. Remember what I said? O-A-S-A. Omen eti. Eti. Ye know him. Ye continually know him. Here again we have accusative singular neuter describing the spirit up there. Not that the spirit is neuter, but the grammar is neuter. It is grammatically neuter. The spirit of God is not neuter. But the word is neuter. Sometimes when it wants to make an explanation, it will call him masculine gender. But the word pneuma is not a masculine word. Because beside ye he remains, and in ye he is. Now the works of the Holy Spirit, That's what we got to think about for now. How many works of the Holy Spirit are there? In the Old Testament, what happened with the whole, with the Spirit of God? What happened to different people in the Old Testament? The Spirit of God came upon them, didn't he? And caused them to do certain things. But everybody from Adam on down was indwelt by the Spirit of God when they were saved. There's only one kind of soteriology in the Bible. They look forward to the Christ. They all believe. They are all indwelt by the Spirit of God then. And every person that's ever been saved is indwelt with the Spirit of God and literally branded with the Spirit of God in his spirit. His spirit, the spirit of evil, is taken out of him, and the Spirit of God dwells in him all the way from Adam to now. Now, another work of the Holy Spirit, they already had the Holy Spirit in them when they were saved. These people were, most of these people were saved. There was one that wasn't. Which one was it? Yes. Mm-hmm. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have the dramatic love of the Spirit of God. In Genesis 1 and 1, it says, Barashith bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et ta'aretz. In beginnings, in one of the beginnings or one of the eternities, created and finished, completely brought to a finished product, the heavens. And when he created the heavens, the cosmos, there's what he's talking about, the whole creation, the whole cosmos, then he took the earth and placed it right where it should be, there, in that cosmos. Then in verse number 2, it says, We ha'aretz, say we ha'aretz. We ha'aretz. And ha, we is and, ha is the, eretz is the earth. And the earth, ha'ya, say ha'ya. She had become the earth. She had become tohu wabohu. All right. And then it says that Spirit God, Ruah Elohim, moved over, brooded over, mourned over, and suffered over the chaos that Satan had created. And he does that over each and every one of our souls to bring us back to him. Spirit God woos us with his spirit, just like he went and gathered the waters and brought light back into the world and reconstructed the earth after it was destroyed. God is working to reconstruct us from the point of salvation to the point that we leave this world in the arms of Jesus. And it's the Spirit of God. Can a child of God make the Spirit of God mourn?
Yes.
One of the most ungodly saved men in the Bible, who was one of the most ungodly saved men in the Bible? There were a bunch of them, but which one was this really just outstandingly ungodly? If it wasn't for the New Testament, you wouldn't even know he was saved. Who was he? His name was Lout in Hebrew. It's Lot in English. Lout. That's what his name was, Lout. Like Louse, you know. He was an ungodly man. But the Bible said that he absolutely vexed his righteous spirit or soul in him, which was God. God's spirit was in him, and he vexed the Spirit of God, taking the Spirit of God in the places where he did. And we do the same thing. We can do the same thing. God's spirit literally guides us along as the indwelling Spirit of God in our lives, guides us, goes with us wherever we go, wherever we haul him. He goes with us, and sometimes we can make him mourn over us, trying to reconstruct our broken lives. Some of our lives are really broken. And then it says, he remains in you. He is. All right? Now, the work of the Holy Spirit as the indweller, as he indwells every person, is not the same as the Comforter. The Comforter, or the Shekinah glory, that is the administrator of God in God's churches in the world today, and the church didn't begin on the day of Pentecost. The church was called out and actually established 3 years before Pentecost, 3.5 years before Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, what happened to the church is the church was indwelt with the work of the Spirit of God that gave them the power to go out and do what they were going to do. Wherever they went, the Spirit of God went with them, and he's going to tell us more about this. The leadership of the Spirit is in the church. We have the indwelling of the Spirit, which tries to reform us and to change our lives. Some people wrestle all the way to heaven. Did you know that? They do. Some people wrestle all the way to heaven with Spirit God. Others just go right along. Like a well-trained horse, they just follow the right path. Others try to go sidestep all the way and make themselves miserable and everybody else is around them pretty much. All right, 14:18 now. 14:18. Uk, afiso, himas, or phanus, erkamai, pros himas. Not I shall leave ye orphans. I come to ye. All right? Now, Jesus is going to go away, but he is going to be with us in every church as the Shekinah glory, as the leader, as the comforter, as the administrator in God's kingdom in every true New Testament church. He's going to be with us. And here we have the word orphanus. Orphanus. Look at that word, orphanus. The word orphan in English comes right straight from that. Orphanos. Dick, I was hoping that you would have your analytical lexicon with us tonight, with you tonight. Orphanos. Orphanos. You want to come up here and read this for me, brother? Just jump right up here. See, it's on page 293 in your analytical Greek lexicon, right? See that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to tell me what that means right there. Hey, hon, ooh. All right?
Go ahead.
Hey is feminine. Hon is neuter. And we have masculine. So this word can be masculine, feminine, neuter, according to the endings. Now, what does it say right there?
Bereaved of parents. Orphan. Bereaved, desolate.
All right. Believed in. You know, when you become an orphan, you're desolate. An orphan is somebody, a child or somebody that's orphaned. I became an orphan when I was 12 years old. The woman that raised me, my grandmother, got killed. And I'm going to tell you what, my world has totally changed from that moment, because I was bereaved of my grandmother. She loved me like a mother. That was my mother. She raised me. I slept in the bed with her until I was that age almost. She took care of me, always watched after me, and always looked after my welfare. At that moment, when she got killed, I mean, I had been going to church and stuff, but I felt like I was totally abandoned in the world, because there was nobody else in this world that really loved me like my grandmother did. They weren't interested in me. My grandmother was interested in me. She raised me. When I was born, my mother said that I was a lot of trouble. I moved around all night long, and it kept waking her up. So my grandmother, she said, I can't sleep. Would you take Jimmy with you? So she took him, and she kept me. From then on, that was it. And I know what it feels like to be abandoned. That abandonment brought me to the Lord. I felt helpless in the world, because the orphan is helpless. An orphan without somebody to watch after him is helpless, because they can't make it on their own. They're just literally what we call not functional yet. An orphan. Somebody has left orphaned. Not I shall leave you orphans, helpless, bereaved of parents, without benefit of parents. I'm not going to leave you like that. Jesus births every one of us, doesn't he? Jesus literally births us all. He is our, basically our Father, because of what he did for us. the salvation that he procured for us, births us. That's how we're birthed. The first time we're birthed of the earth. I want you to look at a Greek word that's very important. Brother Dick, do you know how to say that word right there? That starts with an H, doesn't it?
Hagios.
Hagios. Hagios. What does hagios mean?
Holy or set apart.
It means saint. Saint. Art set apart. Are holy. Okay. What does it literally mean? An alpha in front of a word in Greek means what?
Against or
not. Not or against. Okay. Let's look and see what this word holy or saint means. What does this word gay mean? Eretz in Hebrew. Eretz. Eretz. Listen to Genesis 1 and 1. Barashith bara Elohim et hashamayim we et. Et haaretz. Et haaretz. The earth. Now tell me what this means. Not what? Not of earth. That's what holy means. Not of earth. When you've been born again, you're not of earth. The first time you were born of earth. You had an earthly father. The father is the one that contaminates you with the blood of destruction. The blood of the infection of sin. The woman does not do that. Young lady, did you know that you didn't give the same nature to any of your children at all? What? You're not. It's not possible. Rhonda, you didn't do it. Young lady, you didn't give the same nature to your children.
She figures I gave them a lot.
You gave it all to them. You gave it all. She didn't do it. Corey, you didn't give. She didn't give the same nature to your child. You did it. If any of those children go astray, you know whose fault it is? You gave them the sin nature. All right? Now, that doesn't mean that can be women are more holy than men. They're not. They're just as wild and ornery and contaminated with sin as man. Mary was the mother of Jesus. But Mary had the sin nature. But Mary could not pass on the sin nature. The Catholic Church has now made Mary a god, basically, the mother of God. Mary was just like all of you women. She couldn't pass on the sin nature to the child. All right, she couldn't do it. She wasn't capable of doing it. And, of course, who was Jesus' father? He himself was his father. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have a triune God. Don't make three gods of them. We're going to see that in this verse. Who raised Jesus from the dead? Who raised Jesus from the dead?
He did it himself.
The Bible says the Father raised him from the dead. The Bible said the Spirit, the eternal Spirit, raised him from the dead. And Jesus said, if I lay this body down in 3 days, I will pick it up again. Now, how those things, are those contradictions in the Bible? Did the Bible contradict itself, or what's going on there? We know that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God. One God. Okay. I will not leave you orphans. I shall come to you. Now, he's talking about the Spirit of God. He's going to come to each church. He's going to come to the first church on the day of Pentecost. But he will be in each church from then on. We are not orphans today. We still have his Spirit in this local, visible New Testament church that we serve in today. Brother Dick, you had a question.
Okay. Does that relate to geology?
Yes, the study of the earth. Geology is the study of the earth. Okay? Sure it? Gay. Age, not of earth. So when you're born from above, you're born not of earth. When you're born the second time. One birth is not enough. One birth condemns you. The second birth saves you. Okay? All right. Jesus is going to come to us clothed as the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. John 14 and verse 9 now. John 14, 9. Eti mikron kai ho cosmos me ukete therui theore hemes de theorete me hote ego so kai hemes seisete. Yet a little while. Look at that word there. Yet a little micros. We get a word micron from that. That's something very small in the micron. Microbiology, the study of small life. The word biology comes from Greek. It comes from the word bios in Greek. Biology. All scientific and medical terms come from the Greek language. The legal terms come from the Latin language. Because the church... Catholic became took away the Greek Bible and they put it in Latin, and that became the legal language of the Holy or Unholy Roman Empire, if you want to call it that. Yet a little while, the world, me no longer, it will behold. All right, look at that. Yet a little while, and the world, me no longer, ukete, no longer, uk and ete. No longer it beholds, but ye behold me, because I, look at that word ego, there's where we get the word ego from the English language, a person's ego is right out of that word. Because I live, first person singular, present indicative active. Remember what I said, brother? And John is going to teach us the whole conjugation of the present indicative active. O, ace, a, omen, eti, usi, ain. Let's say that together. O, ace, a, omen, eti, usi, ain. I live. He always lives. Now, Jesus, his body died. The personal body, the personal tent, the personal dwelling place of Jehovah on the earth died. The body died. But his spirit and soul did not die. Every one of us are two parts software and one part hardware. The body is the hardware. The soul and the spirit are the software made in the image of God. Because I live also, ye shall live. Look at that word there, ye shall live. As we live on the earth, we're actually dying people. Dying people. I don't care how handsome you are, how beautiful you are as young ladies, it slips up on you. Slowly. Death is always our master and always our companion. It follows us. You could die young or you can die old. You can. Either way. Babies die every day. Somebody might die at 100. Somebody might die at 110. Somebody might die at 35. I went to school with this healthy young man that was always very healthy. He worked at Horn Coal Laboratories, and he died at Horn Coal Laboratories on his 21st birthday. Had a heart attack and died, fell over dead. That was a shocker. That was one of the first people that wasn't killed in Vietnam that I went to school with that died out of natural causes. 21 years old. That was the end of his life. Death found it. It finds us all. I live also, ye shall live. Jesus is our guarantee of eternal life. We shall live because he is lived. He lives. He is the surety of the better covenant. Hebrews 7:22 and John 6 and 57. John 7:33 and John 16:16 and John 6:57. All these words, the word to behold. Cross-reference to that. 14 and verse 20. En ekene te hemera gnoseste hemes hote ego en to patri mu kai hemes en imu kago en himen. In that the day ye shall know. In that very day, That little word there, in, is where we get our word in English from in. In English is a preposition, and in Greek is a preposition. That's where our English word in comes from. In that there is a demonstrative pronoun, and it's that right over there. In that the day ye shall know, ye, because I in the Father of me, and ye in me, and I in ye. You are part of God now. You have a part of God in you. You have a part of God living in you if you're born again. Isn't that nice to carry God around with you? Sometimes maybe you were not doing things with in the presence of God you might not want to do. But just remember that you're carrying God with you wherever you go. Sometimes you can be proud of it. I remember a lot of times when the preacher was coming over to dinner or something or other, they would go and just clean the house all up and get all the things that are bad out of their sight, see. But God's always there. The preacher only comes there and visits, but God's always there. He's always there. 14:21. Ho, ekon. Tas, entelos. Mu, tai, teron. Altes, ekinos, esten. Ho, agapon. Me, ho, de, agapon. Me, agape, thesete. Hippo, tu, patrus. Mu. Kago, agapeso, auton, kai, emphaniso, autu, ematon. The one having the commandments of me. The one having. Who did Jesus give the commandments to? Who did he give it to? Who did he give the commandments to? In the Old Testament, at one period of time, in the Mosaic covenant, he gave the commandments to Moses, and Moses gave it to Israel. Until Jesus came, Israel had those commandments. But after Jesus came, here is the Lord of the harvest. Here is the Lord of heaven. Here is the King of the kingdom of God. And he was the one that was supposed to be taking his reins, but they fought and they wrestled with him. Until John the Baptist, what was until John the Baptist? The law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. After that, the kingdom of God is preached. Because the king was here. Jesus was that king. Having the commandments of me. Israel had the commandments of him. What did they do with it? They tried to condemn him with those commandments. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. You shall not become an impostor of God either. No high priest could pretend like he was God. Jesus was God. He is God. He always will be God. When he came, he said plainly that he was God. And the Gospel of John keeps saying that over and over and over again. And he gives the commandments to each and every person that is born again. You know what's right and wrong, don't you? Before you do something. Have you ever been doing something you knew that was wrong? Just did it. Just do it. And then you are sorry you did it. The one having the commandments of me and keeping and guarding them, that one, he is the one loving me. And Jesus is going to tell me, don't you say you love me. Now, I love you, but don't you tell me you love me unless you keep my commandments. The one and the one loving me, he shall be loved by the Father of me, and I shall love him. And I shall manifest, display him to myself. Look at that. God looks at every one of his possessions. How many of you got something that you really like to look at? Some possession that you really like? Maybe it's a diamond ring or a watch or a car or house or your kitchen or something that you have. You really like to look at it. You just sit back there and look at it every now and then. Your wife. You like looking at it. You enjoy it. You just kind of adore it, in a way. You adore your wives, I know. Jesus adores you, if you're His. He adores you. He looks at you and look at what my Spirit has done with that person. Look where He took that person from. Look and see how it took that person from. I will manifest to Him myself. And we are manifest to God. God looks at us. God bought you. You know, I look at myself sometimes and I say, boy, what was worth buying to me? I remember the order of tulip. And I agree so much with the second point. That second point. We have total hereditary depravity. We all know that we're sinners by nature. We know that. Now, supralapsarianism condemns God, has God creating some to be lost and some to be saved. I don't believe in that at all. But we are totally depraved. We're lost sinners. And God saves us. And He saves us on unconditional election. What is good about us that is worth saving? You know, what is good about us that's worth saving? Nothing. That unconditional election, unconditional. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten sons. And when God saves us, He adores us, and He nurtures us, He feeds us with His Word, and He guides us and just whips us along like you would a child that you love so much. You ever whip your child? Almost illegal to do that today. You should never whip your child and they don't need it. You can whip them in more ways than one. You can correct them in a lot of different ways. But we correct our child not because we're mad at the world. A lot of people do that. They'll take it out on their children. They did that, you know. People have been doing that for thousands of years. But you should never whip your child, correct your child, out of anger or just because something went wrong in your world that day. Correction is to make them go straight. And in Greek it says to spank them up straight. To spank them up straight. That's the word correction. And God spanks us up straight. He corrects us. He just aims us in the right way. When we try to take Him in the wrong world, He'll spank us back into the right world, into the right path. Verse number 22, 14:22, legay. You guys now read out loud. Now pronounce this with me and you'll be able to do this. You'll know, you won't know how in the world you learn Greek. Legay. Auto, udas, uk, ho, iskaiotes, kyrie, kai, ti, gegonan, hote, himen, meles, ephonizein, siato, kai, uke, to, cosmu. We've just about got them all, Brother Dick. We just about got all of the present indicative active. O-A-S-A, omen eti usiain. Say it again. O-A-S-A, omen eti usiain. And He says to him, look at that word, third person singular, present indicative active. He says that He keeps on saying to him, Judas. Judas, what does Judas mean? All right. He was also, what does Judas mean? This guy had several names. What? Praise God. Praise Jehovah. Actually, that's what Judas means. All right, so this guy, he's not Judas Iscariot. It says that. This one is called also Thaddeus or Lebius, brother or son of James. Okay? Not the Iscariot. The word Iscariot, what does that? Now, that's Hebrew. That's Hebrew, Brother Vic. That's the Hebrew word. What's Ithacariot mean? Do you know?
No.
Ish. Ish in Hebrew means what, Brother Corey?
Somewhere.
Ish means what?
Man.
Man. Thank you. See, you knew it after all. Ish means man. Then we had a word Kerioth there. Kerioth was a place down by Hebron, bound by the cave of Machpelah. Okay? Kerioth was down in that district. Man from Kerioth. Not the man from Kerioth. That's a literal Issachariot, man from Kerioth. All right? Not the man from Kerioth. Lord, what has happened that to us you are about to manifest yourself and not to the world? We don't understand this. Now, we have the fourth interruption of Jesus' teaching. Peter was 13:36, Thomas was 14:5, Philip was 14:8. Now we have Judas at 14:22. Four different times he was interrupted because they didn't understand what he's talking about. All right. Now we can understand that Judas, Issachariot, didn't understand because he was lost. One of the men was lost. You know, Judas Issachariot was a very, very elite group of Jews. What was that? What was the elite group that he was a member of? The Sicarii. We know that two of Jesus' disciples were of Sicarii. There was even a third one later that got saved of the Sicarii. All right? We have Judas Iscariot was a Sicarii, which basically they were zealot assassins. They killed Romans. They were very vicious. They were boiling over with Jewish zeal. They were extremely prejudiced in every way they thought and everything. Judas was that way, and we have Simon the Zealot, or Simon the Sicarii. And then we have one other one later that wrote many books in the New Testament, several. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a Sicarii. He was a Zealot. He was a murderer. We have evidence where he murdered one man in Acts, the 7th chapter. He was the man that gave the order to kill Stephen in Acts, the 7th chapter. He was a Sicarii. He was a Zealot. That's Apostle Paul. So we have three disciples that were Sicarii, and at least two of them got saved. And one of them didn't. But they were disciples. All right? We don't understand the fourth interruption. We don't understand. What are you talking about, Jesus? 14 and verse 23 now. 14:23. Apocrite. Asus. Kai. Apen. Alto. Yon. Tis. Agapa. Me. Ton. Logon. Mu. Terese. Kai. Ho. Pater. Mu, agapese, auton, kai, pros, auton, elusometha. See, it goes on even further. Yep, it goes on a little further. Kai, monane, par auto, poiesometha. He answered Judas. I mean, Jesus, that is. He answered Jesus. Jesus answered Judas, and he said to him, if anyone, he may love me. Now look at that word aeon there. Now that is a third class conditional particle. How many conditional particles are there in Greek? Four. Four. All right. The first class conditional particle means what? Condition determined as fulfilled. In other words, it's since. It really isn't a conditional particle in English at all. It should be translated since. But here is we have a real if. Third class conditional particle means the condition is undetermined, but it has a prospect of termination. It can be fulfilled. All right. Now, why is it if there? Why do we have if there? Why is there an if? Because man is a volitative creature. You're not record in a form. We have volition. It is not irresistible grace. It is not limited atonement. Because each person responds to Spirit God or rejects Spirit God. 1 John 2 and 2 is a very beautiful verse. He's our propitiation, but not only our propitiation, but a propitiation for the whole world. All right. He says to him, "Why? I don't understand this, Jesus." And Jesus answers Judas and he says to him, "If anyone he may love." Look at that word there again, Brother Dick. What mode is that in? All right. You see that little iota subscript under that alpha? What does that tell you? You remember that? Brother Corey, you remember what that iota subscript shows many times? Subjunctive mode, which is a mode of doubtful affirmation. You either may do it or you may not. What does it depend upon? Volition. Okay? He may love me, the word of me. Look at that word love. Tone logon there. That's accusative singular masculine, Brother Dick. See that omicron nu on the end of that? That tells you that's accusative singular masculine. The definite article and the noun are both the same. Number and gender case. Tone logon. Mu. That's genitive case. That's first person pronoun, genitive singular. The word of me. He shall guard with his life. The Jews loved the written word of God. They loved the written word of God. And when we study the word of God, it should not be an object of love directly. We should love the word of God. It should be in our hearts, in our mind, in our souls. We should just saturate ourselves with the word of God. And I'm going to guarantee you something. If you study God's word, how many of you ever aired up a tire? You did that? You aired up a tire. Okay. Did you ever put too much air in the tire? What happened? It bloated. It blew up. It blowed plumb up. I remember one time my son, I sent him down to the service station to air his tires up on his bicycle, and he went down there and blew both of them up. But bam! A person. When you take in the Word of God and you eat a lot of Word of God, guess what happens to you? It's kind of, you're not like the Dead Sea. You're not like a tire. If you just keep blowing air in the tire, it's going to explode, isn't it? What happens when you study God's Word, Brother Dick? You want to teach it. You want to tell others what you've learned today. You ever leave from this class and you just got to tell somebody what you learned today? You got to share with somebody something you never saw before. That's why it's like you don't want to be like the Dead Sea. You don't want to be like a tire that goes boom. You can only take in so much word, and you got to give it out. Brandy got up and gave her testimony here a while back, and she said that she just loved the Word of God, and she just overflowed with it. Christine, when she came to the class here a while back, she said she is loving eating these classes up, just eating them up. And she said, then I go out and I send it out. I have what I can tell my children. I have my friends. I've got to just tell somebody what I've learned. It just, I get, but also I give. And that's what it is. We guard the Word of God in our hearts. He says, if anyone he loves me, he may love me. The word of me he shall keep. And the Father of me, he shall love him. He shall love him. When you get saved, when you're born again, God's going to love you. He's going to love you. He shall love. Third person singular future indicative active. He shall love him. And to him I shall come for myself. And abode with him. And we shall make, all right, and we shall make for ourselves. Let's look. We don't have anybody here with that. Does anybody have an Amplified Bible tonight at all? I do. You have it? Could you bring it up here and read these last few verses for me, Rhonda, please? Read verse number 17 all the way through 23. Come right over here so both of these microphones can pick you up. Okay. All right.
Okay. The Spirit of Truth, whom the Word, I'm sorry, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see. Did I find the right chapter?
That's it. You're right. Cannot see.
Not see him or know or recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. How far did you
go? Okay, that was a... I want you to go down to verse number 24.
23.
It just takes off on you, doesn't
it? Yes, it does. I'm sorry.
Computers just do things that they want to do.
Okay. We'll start at 18.
Yeah.
I will not leave you orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourself that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The person who has my commands will keep them, is the one who really loves me, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Judas, not
Iscariot,
asked him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself, make yourself real to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place with him.
All right. That's wonderful. Thank you, Rhonda. We shall become the Holy of Holies. That tabernacle up there, have you, any of you ever studied the tabernacle very much? That tabernacle is a type of Christ. Primarily. Secondarily, it's a type of church. Okay? That tabernacle up there, that little tent here is the tabernacle. This is the type of salvation and everything. The white out here is the type of the white righteousness of Christ. We come to God through the righteousness of Christ. We come in there, and the first thing we need to understand is that we need to be saved, that we need to sacrifice. And that sacrifice is the person of Jesus Christ. The second thing we do as a child of God, we need to be baptized. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is not a communicant of grace at all. Period. I'm talking about salvation. It's not a sacrament. Baptism is obedience. You're not baptized to get saved. You're baptized because you're saved. Because it's a following of obedience. You're baptized. And then you can go in, and this holy place here is a type of the church in the world today. That's a type of the church in the world. In here you have the Lord's Supper. In the church you have the light of God. In the church you have where you get real, real serious with prayers. You go to church. You can pray at home, always. You should pray at home and everything. But the real, when we really communicate with God, we're doing it to his administrators. In the age we live in. Now, this place is the Holy of Holies. This is the very place of heaven itself. Alright? This is God's abode. And the God's abode, the access to it, is right there. Right at that altar of prayer. We go right into the presence of God. And God says that he's going to come and dwell with us. This Holy of Holies, His presence will be right next to us, right there in that church. Okay? The abode of Him. Monane. That's where He will remain. With Him He shall make. All right? His presence, His dwelling place. 1424. We'll go to that one and we'll quit there tonight. 1424. Ho me agapon. Me tus logos. Mu u tere. Kai ho logos. Hon akuete. Uk esten. Imos alla tu pampsantos. Mi patros. The one not loving me, the words of me, not he shall keep. He won't want to keep them. You have to be saved before you want to keep the word of God. You have to be saved before you want to do it. The spirit that is in you is contrary to God's laws and contrary to God's commandments. And the word which ye hear, not he is mine, but of the one having sent me, the Father. He said, now, the words that you hear, that I'm talking, this is the commands of my Father. This is the commands of the whole Godhead. The Spirit, the Son, and the Father are one God. And what Jesus spoke when He was on this earth were the commandments of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said to the church in Matthew 28:18-20, He said, after you've been scattered out in the world, what did He say? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All right? All authority in heaven and earth. After you've been gone out, what do? Make disciples. After you make disciples, you baptize them. And then He says, you baptize them in the name of. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It should be names of, but it's only one God. In the name, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now that's grammatically incorrect there. Because you have one, two, three, you have names. But we have one God in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, everything that Jesus ever did, the Spirit God did. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, the Spirit of God tasted that death. He experienced that death. The Father experienced that horrible death. Experienced it. We all think about dying, don't we? Sometime or another, we all think, because we're going to do it. If the Lord doesn't come back and rapture us, we're all going to die. Period. How are you going to die? Is it going to be painful? Am I just going to die in my sleep? You can die in your sleep and it'd be painful. Dying many times is painful. Jesus died in horrible pain. How many of you have been in pain? A lot of pain. Crushed or beat up or chopped up with some surgery or something. Couldn't get away from the pain. It just follows you wherever you go. You get up in the middle of the night and go wandering around and break a toe. That's going to follow you around for quite a while. The whole, your spirit, soul, and body is all going to experience that pain. You understand that? Just like what happened to Christ on the cross of Calvary when His that nails were driven through His carpal tunnel with a washer on it. Driven through this carpal tunnel. It hurts when you have a carpal tunnel syndrome. I don't want any of you to have that. I've had it bad. Then he drove it through the other one, and then He drove it through His ankles. We put the feet together and drove those sharp nails through His ankles. And that wasn't enough. Then they stood Him up to pull on those things. And the only way He could breathe, you would suffocate instantly if you didn't pull against that. And that excruciating, terrible pain. Pulling against that. And some people live like that for days before they finally succumb to death. Jesus felt that death for us. He felt it. He felt it. And according to medically, Jesus' heart burst. It blew up. When they stuck that sword or spear through His abdomen and up in His chest cavity, out ran what? Water and blood. That meant that He had a heart attack. and his chest cavity was filled with that water and blood. His heart exploded when he says, "Under my spirit, under my Father, unto you I release my spirit." That body just died. The average human body would have died a lot long, a lot earlier than that. What Jesus was put through, the beating was a death-dealing beating. He would have died probably within hours after that beating. Pontius Pilate had him beat like that, so they turned him loose. Maybe he'd live. Maybe. But they still weren't ready. They wanted his more blood. They put him on the cross. He couldn't even carry the cross, could he? He was beat so bad he couldn't carry the cross. And Jesus was a strong man. But he was so incapacitated already that he couldn't carry the cross. He dropped it. And of course we know that the man was taken and he carried the cross for him. Well, I hope you learned something from God's Word tonight. We went from John 14, 17 through 23. No, 24. 14, 17 through 24. All right. Do you have any questions? You have any questions? Corey, you got any questions tonight? Anybody? Any of you have any questions? Young lady, have a question? No? How about you, Dick? You seem like I have all these questions. Young lady, you have a question? Dakota, you have a question? Nope. She already knows all this, isn't she? You know how long that kid's been listening to this? All of her life. She ought to be a great theologian. I had a lot of my students say of her, "Well, when you die, she can go on and teach." But she surely got it down. She'd been listening to it all her life. Do you have it got it down, Dakota? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Go out and do something eternal. Brother Dick, would you come up here and lead us in prayer? Dismiss us in prayer, brother.
Father, we thank you for this time tonight with Brother Jim and your word and just learning how it can relate to us as we seek to follow you and obey your commandments and be the ones who love you and have that love returned to us as well. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.